This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by Walmart Puerto Rico, First Bank Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez voiceovers.
Hi, everybody. This is Michelle Cantro Vasquez, host of Dollars and Cents, a News is My Business podcast. With us today is Dr. Orville Dizdier, Executive Director of the Puerto Rico Institute of Statistics. Thank you so much for being with us today. We have a lot to talk about, so let's get right to it. First of all, you've been recently confirmed officially after about a year and a half, right, of being the intern.
A year and two months,
you were interim executive director of an agency that you already know very well. When did you start? And, you know, talk to me about how that interim phase worked out and what your plans are now that you're officially in the chair.
Thank you. First of all, thank you to invite me for this awesome podcast. And I was in the, I was starting the Institute on 2008, and the Act number 209 of August 28, 2003 created the Institute. However, on 2007, it's officially started with the designation of the first executive director. And then a year later, I went to the Institute as a project manager.
Okay.
And then as a project manager, I started to work with a lot of projects, but especially in projects regarding education and health statistics.
Okay.
So then I worked with several agencies like the Department of Education, the Department of Workforce, the Department of Social Affairs in Puerto Rico, Departamento de la Familia. And also I started to do a lot of research regarding the use of data to make projections, for example, how many students will be in the future in the Department of Education, the enrollment stats, and also trying to make projections about dropouts in school.
Right.
And then I started to work as a senior project manager years later. Then as a senior project manager, I started to have other people under my command. So we work a lot with teamwork in the Institute, so we need to establish many projects, and that project needs workforce.
Right.
We let many people with a lot of knowledge, programmers, for example, people that can make collaborative agreements with other agencies, people that can go there to the agencies and work hand by hand with other people. And then I started to work as acting executive director in the Institute, and then a year and 2 months later, now I am officially the executive director of the Institute.
And you did go through the hiring process, right? As well, you did apply and you went through the interview process, as did all of the other candidates that that were in that cycle. Yes.
Yes. The cycle was. It was first of three phases.
Three phases.
The first phase was just some questions and some informal interviews. We sent a lot of documents, some papers to the board of directors, and also then we have some other interviews with this special committee that they created, a committee that was composed of people of different backgrounds.
And external, right?
External people that
were completely independent from the Institute, right?
Independent from the Institute.
Okay.
People from universities, people from private and public universities, people from the states also.
Okay.
People from local universities, expert in statistics. And so all of them external to the Institute.
Okay.
People not related with the board of directors.
Yeah, because you have to be very careful about there being conflicts of interest and all of that, right? When you're choosing somebody who's going to sit in your chair.
Yeah, yeah. So they establish a a set of questions and formal interviews in this case. So they trying to know more about the person, not just the how they can establish new projects for the institute, but also how they are in personal issues or in ethics.
Sure.
The background.
You're dealing with a lot of personalities when you're at the top. So speaking of that, your projects, mm-hmm. have you already outlined specific projects that you want to work on now?
Yeah.
Maybe in the short, middle, and long term. Can you share some of those plans with us?
Yeah. Fortunately for us, the board of directors established a new 3-year strategic plan for the institute. And that plan is ongoing right now.
Okay.
So we are in the first year of that new plan. So the plan established several projects for the institute. The first one is establish a new administrative structure for the institute.
Okay.
So the institute can then establish new ways to collaborate with the agencies, because the institute has the need to establish collaborative agreements with the agencies.
To be able to get data.
To be able to get data.
Right.
And also, we have to establish the public policy in statistics for the Puerto Rico. So we need the information from the agencies. We need collaboration from them. But also, we have to establish an administrative structure that can help the people in the institute to establish that.
But right now, you said you have 12 people working at the agency. Yeah. Is that enough?
No, it's not enough. We have 12 people and just one person for informatic systems.
Okay.
So just one person for all Puerto Rico.
So what does that mean?
So that means that we have to choose the projects very careful, and we can help everybody at the same time.
Okay. So what's first?
Well, first we have to establish collaborations with the agencies that are producing economic data right now.
No, but what I mean with what's first is what's the first project? Which agencies, for example, are you going to be working with first?
Well, first of all, we are working with the Department of Education.
Okay.
Then we are also working with the Department of Economic Development.
Right.
So
that's big, right?
That's
there.
That's big one.
Right. That's okay.
Those two are the first ones, the most important.
And then labor. I'm thinking Department
also
of
the
labor.
Also the labor statistics, labor workforce, and all statistics related to that topics are also a priority for us. But they are attached with other projects in the Department of Economic Development.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in education, for example, what exactly are you looking for first? Like how many students there are, how many there will be? What are some of the projects with that agency itself?
We are trying to establish new ways to make projections mm-hmm. about how many students will be in the future in the municipalities, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Secretary of Education wants to know if how many schools it will be needed in the future by municipality, because the resources that we have are very scarce.
Sure.
And we need to distribute the resources very scientific, in scientific way. And also, some schools in Ponce, Guanica.
That's what I was going to say. It's obvious that some of those schools in those south and southeastern towns, mm-hmm. A bunch of them may not reopen.
So we want to know with more accuracy where the students are going to be in the future, and to maybe we have to move them to other municipalities.
Okay.
So we are trying to establish new ways to make that projections using economic variables, okay. demographic variables, and trying to do it that for the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay, and how quickly can you have the first results? Do you know, maybe this year or the start of the next school year? Or?
Probably this year.
This year,
yeah,
okay. It's important to know that, right? I mean,
I think that we could have some idea of that projections maybe for October this year.
Okay. Yeah. And then I guess another important projection is migration.
Yeah.
Are you working on that actively, or is that something that you're going to be restarting? How's that going?
Yeah, we have a demographer in our team. It's Alberto Velasquez.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that modeling.
She's okay.
Projections. He using all the information that he has from the Census Bureau.
Okay.
And we publish that. We make a special publication once a year where we publish estimates monthly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so do you have the latest numbers of, you know, migration? Do you have them with you by chance?
Not right now, but I can look for
it. It's always interesting.
Yeah.
And then speaking of that, you have the census.
Yeah.
Coming up. Actually, you've been working on the census for a couple of months now. But last week you were at a press conference where you actually talked about dates and the steps that you're taking next. So can we talk a little bit about that? I think one of the dates that was mentioned was March 15th. That's when the door-to-door process begins, right?
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the census is, is once every 10 years, and it's a count of every resident in the United States, including Puerto Rico, and also it counts our population and households, providing the basis for a lot of things, very important things, such as reporting the congressional seats that each state will need. But also for Puerto Rico, the distribution of federal funds.
Right.
And this is the most important event in statistical issues or statistical events in any society.
Right.
So it's very important because you have to make sure that everyone is aware of this, that everyone knows the importance of this, because you want to count all people.
Right.
Nobody must be afraid of this, because this is for obtaining more money, more federal funds for a lot of needs that we have. For example, new streets, or we need to repair the street. We need new schools. We need health services. We need more social services, better social services. So this is very important for that. And the census, we start in March 15, the process of counting.
And that's the door-to-door process, right?
Door-to-door process.
How does that work?
Yeah. They go to the house of people and the houses, and they identify the building, the house.
Mm-hmm.
So also they ask for people there, if there are people living there, if there's a family. So they send them papers that they have to fill.
They give them the papers there.
They give them the papers there.
Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. How many people have been hired by the census to do this work?
Well, the last number that I confirmed with the people from the census was 18,000 people.
Those are the people that are going to go house to house, door to door.
Door to door.
Are they identified?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's another thing.
Yeah, they
people
identify.
Okay.
And you can call also the census. There's numbers that you can call, telephone numbers, to make sure that person is a person that worked for the census.
One of the things that people were concerned about was a question that was supposed to be included in the census about citizenship, right?
Yeah.
Was that question finally included?
No.
So that's something that people don't need to worry about.
Don't need to worry about that.
They can answer and not be afraid that they'll be shipped out if they're not.
No. Nope.
Okay, good. Because that was one of the...
The census is protected by law. It's protected by the Constitution. So nobody, including the president or other people, nobody can ask for information of personal identifiers or trying to find if you are an alien or a resident.
Right.
That was
something that people were very concerned about.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody comes to my house.
Yeah.
I live in a condominium that has a gated, you know, it's a gated community.
Yeah.
How do they get in? Because you can go to every house that's out there, but what about me that I live in a condo.
Yeah, there's some kind of agreements with the board of directors
of each condominium.
Each condominium, okay. Or any kind of resident that is protected or that is with
a gated community.
Community, and they have some agreements with them, and they should be safe with that.
Okay.
Because they have all the information. The agreement is with the census, so okay. It's once again,
it's official.
It's official.
Sure.
It's a federal entity that is protected by law and the constitution. So
okay, yeah. So the surveyor knocks on my door. Mm-hmm. What am I gonna expect from them? They're gonna introduce themselves. They're gonna give me paperwork. Are they gonna ask me questions?
Well,
for example,
they can ask you questions there, or just leave the papers with you.
Okay.
And then you can send them by email.
Okay.
You can send them through the internet. You can fill it
okay.
The internet.
That's it can be done feature. Online.
Yeah,
okay.
It can be done online. Or you can also call by phone and complete the form by the telephone. But also, the person can interview you there.
And so, what happens if you leave the papers with me and I don't fill them out?
Well,
do you have a way of knowing that I didn't fill them out? For example,
they have the way to know that, and they probably going to visit you again.
Okay.
Yeah, because another thing is that you have to fill it.
You have to. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You have to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, listener, that it's by law that you have to fill this paper out. Okay. And so how long is this process going to go on? It starts March 15th. You said Census Day was April 1st,
yeah,
which is
funny
because it's April Fool's.
It's April Fool's, yeah.
How long does this process go on?
We start in March 15th, but the official date is April 1st.
Okay.
April Fool's. Yeah,
April
so.
Fool's Day, uh-huh. Yeah. But it's not a joke.
It's
this is really
joke.
Happening.
It's really happening. Is official.
Okay.
And that's the day where everybody has to or must we are trying that date everybody talk about the census, make some maybe meetings in the community, make meetings in the office, talking about the importance of the census. So that's census day.
Okay.
But the activities we keep going on until June. Yeah,
okay.
Until June.
And so when after June will you know the numbers? When will the numbers start coming in?
Well, it would take more than a year probably.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they have to establish some preliminary numbers, and they also a date where I don't remember the date right now, but where the municipalities can playing the census that maybe the complaint to the census that maybe some people are not are in some special communities that they don't receive the visits of the people from the census, so they can complain about that. They may think that no people have been counted.
Okay.
So there's several steps later.
Okay.
But it's normal because it's just to make sure that everybody. Is counted for.
And Puerto Rico, even before everything started gaining traction for the census, it was already said that Puerto Rico is special because of the way the addresses are, because of the way the streets are, you know, named or go. And that still stands. And I saw, I think perhaps during your press conference recently, that the earthquake also added to that level of complexity for Puerto Rico. What happens in those towns where maybe the house is no longer there, or you know, it was knocked over or knocked out by the earthquakes and that people left? How is the census going to deal with that special situation?
Yes, but the census, if the house is no longer there, they going to get it out from the list of houses. And they're going to move to the next house. And also they are going to look for that family.
Okay.
That the family that had not been is not there anymore. So they can ask the neighbors about that family if they know where are they.
Okay.
And I can go to other places looking for that family. And if the families are in some a new community or
a shelter,
they can go there and count them in that place. So they will be counted wherever they are.
Wherever they are. That's what I was going to say. What if they move from Guanica to San Juan?
Yeah, well, in San Juan, is when the census people, the persons go there and they count them if they are in San Juan. But there's going to be no problem there because they probably will be in a house that is a good house. It's mm-hmm. It has not been destroyed by the earthquakes.
But I guess maybe my question is, okay, Guanica, for example, there was a report not too long ago that 1,000 families have left. So the census will definitely confirm the populational change in Guanica, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll be able to compare that perhaps 10 years ago to the most recent.
The population and the houses.
And the houses, okay.
So they have to remake the maps.
They have to, okay.
Yeah, they have to remake the maps. So that maps would be useful in the next 10 years.
Right.
So they have new maps, new houses distribution. They're going to get rid of old houses in the map. So it's very important because they are going to use that for other surveys that they do during the years.
Right.
Yeah, for the next years.
Okay, so that's going to be happening. That's important for people to be on the lookout for and to fill out because, as you said, it's by law.
It's by law.
A legal responsibility that people have. Now, let's go back to the Institute. What does the Institute need? Have you been able to assess what the Institute needs to function, to do its job, and to gather those statistics that are obviously very necessary for even the day-to-day operation in Puerto Rico? What does the Institute need?
That's a good question because maybe it's the most important question right now for the Institute. The Institute, by law, is supposed to be the government supposed to assign the Institute $3 million each year.
Okay.
But right now, the Institute only have $1.6 million.
Oh, half.
Yeah, half the budget.
Huh. Okay.
And with that, it's very difficult to make new projects to accomplish what we should do to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing right now, as any other agency probably now in Puerto Rico, is to try to get the budget that we need. We need more money.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking for new ways to have more money.
Okay.
In this case, the Institute has the power to establish agreements with private sectors, have the power to establish new projects that can get external funds. So we are working very hard in that.
So you would be able to get federal funding, in other words?
Federal funding and also local funding. We can, for example, bring services to a nonprofit sector, bring services to other agencies, and get paid for that.
Okay.
So we can get more money.
And is that something you're planning on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now we are making, maybe we have, we will be able to establish new collaborations in that way. With in this case, we are working with the Department of Education. We are working with the police department.
Okay.
So we can maybe get more money doing services, special services. And also we have a list of possible federal grants.
Grants,
And we are trying to get those grants.
Okay, have you applied?
We are applying right now.
Okay.
We are, for example, this morning, I was looking for a special grant about violence, about statistic issues about violence, about deaths.
Which we need. Puerto Rico needs.
Yeah.
Right.
And we hope that we can get more money applying for the grants, and maybe we can.
And is the $3 million budget enough?
Well, right now.
If you had it.
If
you had it.
It would be enough.
It would be.
It would be enough. We can do a lot of things with that. Yeah.
Are you thinking of hiring more people, or perhaps people, as you get grants, perhaps hire people to work on those specific projects? Or how would that go? Do you need more people?
We need more people. Maybe if we get those grants, maybe we can get what it called in that more money that we get, we can get more people that support the projects, right, and also support other projects in the institute.
Mm-hmm.
We need people. We need more programmers.
What would be your ideal number? You have 12 now. How many do you need?
We need at least we need two people specializing in informatics.
Okay.
And one special and one people that can do coding and programming.
Okay. So that's three more.
Yeah, three more.
Okay.
Yeah, three more.
At least three more.
At least three more, and one person specialized maybe in several topics such as statistics of cultural issues, mm-hmm, statistics of sports statistics. It's strange, but
Puerto Rico lives on that stuff. Tourism, for example.
Tourism.
Sports is important. What you're mentioning about crime, that's important because from what I understand, if you have those numbers in place, the island can get even more funding.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to deal with social and economic issues.
Yeah.
Right?
The statistical information, the data, are the basis usually of when you are trying to get a grant. You need those bases. You need the information, the basic information. In my experience, there's a lot of grants that we fail to take granted because we don't have the basic information to support what we are trying to do in the project.
So that's where the institute comes in.
Yeah.
If you have the right numbers or the specific numbers, then that sets off, a chain of possibly, more funding for other agencies, right? Is that correct?
That's right. That's correct. And that's why we have a special service in the institute. It's a service of a question service, we call preguntas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a service that people can go there and ask questions, so we can answer them very fast, very reliable. Right now we have a website, it's preguntas, .estadistica.pr.
Okay.
And that site, you can ask any question.
And will people get the answers?
Yeah, people get the answers.
Because sometimes, people ask questions and they get lost in the pipeline.
A new dashboard that we can see in life.
Okay.
What is happening? If someone asks a question, I can see it in that dashboard. I can see who is answering the question in my team and how much time it took him to or her to answer the question.
One of the things that has always been challenging, and I've been covering business for more than 20 years, is getting uniformity.
Yeah.
In the numbers.
Yeah, standardize the information.
Standardizing the information. Is that something that the institute would be able to do or is doing?
Yeah. For example, we have a national debt violence system. It's a new system that we have in the institute that is looking for data from the Department of Education and from the police department, for example. It's about violent deaths.
Okay.
And we are trying to standardize the numbers so we can compare the information in a standardized form with other jurisdictions of the United States.
There we go.
And we can have one number of the violent deaths in Puerto Rico regardless what the police department said or what the Department of Education said. So that's an example that how we can standardize a number. So it could be more useful because when we finish doing that, we can establish a unique number of violent deaths in Puerto Rico, and that number can be compared with other jurisdictions because we are using the same methodology.
That was something that the Bureau of Economic Analysis was here to do, right? Are you working with them as well? Because they were here a couple of months back and they met with different sectors of the economy.
Yeah, the Bureau of Economic Analysis is trying to make an estimation of the GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And they are using also the same methodology that they use in the other states and jurisdictions, so we can compare the numbers. So, yeah, that's right. This is also the same thing. It's trying to standardize the numbers.
Right.
And it's very important because you have to compare things that are the same.
Apples with apples.
Apples with apples. You mm-hmm. can compare apples with orange. And
do you think it's possible for Puerto Rican agencies to standardize their numbers?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yes. Okay.
Because some agencies use data and information for administrative purposes.
Right.
But not necessarily for statistical purposes. So as in any country, in any place, you can set a set of rules just for statistical purposes. So we can have our own methodology, and they can keep doing what they are mm-hmm. doing all every day just for administrative purposes. But for statistical purposes, we can make a unique set of rules.
Okay.
So we can compare with other states.
And you're giving them the rules. The Statistics Institute is giving them the rules.
Yeah.
This is what I need.
Yeah.
Okay.
They give, yeah.
That's right. It's coming from you, in other words. You're saying, we, the Institute, we need this from you so that we can produce this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. In case of the Bureau of Economic Analysis, they also have their own rules mm-hmm. for make comparisons. But we also, we at the same time, we have some, we use the information to make our own indicators.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's next? Do you have anything immediately in the pipeline that you're going to be working on?
Well, yeah. Right now, we are trying to improve the in the same line of the Bureau of Economic Analysis. We are trying to improve our national accounts.
Okay.
And to improve our national accounts, we need to establish better relationships with the board of the planning board mm-hmm. of Puerto Rico, the Puerto Rico planning board.
Right.
And we right now are establishing new relationships with them.
Okay.
Trying to make better economic statistics for Puerto Rico.
Because they have many numbers.
Yeah, they have many numbers.
What do they have?
Well,
I know they have the properties, right?
Yeah, properties. They also have information about the exports and imports.
Yeah.
They have a lot of economic information.
So you need to get all of that.
Do you have
even part of it, or?
We recently have a meeting.
Okay.
And we established new relationships.
Okay.
So I think they are very happy
okay.
with us.
And so how soon should the people see, you know, results from that?
They should see results in this year, maybe later in this year. I think that before December.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means that the Institute will have statistics from the planning board in a standardized way.
We hope that. Yeah.
We're hoping for that.
Yeah.
And those numbers will be good for local use and for to compare with other jurisdictions in the mainland, right?
Eventually, we need to make standardized statistics to can we compare with other jurisdictions. But in that area, the Bureau of Economic Analysis is helping a lot
right.
with that.
Because that also goes back to, you know, transparency and mm-hmm. for agencies in the States to be able to see what's happening here. And that they can understand it because, again, it's apples mm-hmm. and apples.
Mm-hmm.
And that may also lead to more and better funding because they're seeing that mm-hmm. it's, you know, the right numbers.
The right numbers. And
there's credibility in the numbers.
There's credibility in numbers. That's very important. Once again, the planning board and other agencies can keep doing
what they need to do internally. Uh-huh.
But we have to standardize some numbers, some statistics, so we can use them to compare with the rest of the United States.
It's important.
And to get, as you said, to get more opportunities for funding. Yeah, that's right. Also in the future, we want to create a new website for the Institute.
Okay.
A better website.
More user friendly
because I know and people know that it's hard to use.
It is. It's a little hard. Even for people that know numbers,
it's tricky. It's not smart.
Mm-hmm.
If you are looking for information in the search bar, you probably would not find a lot of information there. You better go to Google and use
Might as well go to the agency in person.
Yeah.
So when is that starting? Because that's important.
We are already doing that.
You're already doing that. When do you expect to release the new version?
Also, my scope is at the end of the year.
Okay.
I have a new website. We can make publish that website, announce it to the public, and we are trying to work it in by parts. You know,
mm-hmm.
First we made this new website for questions,
yeah.
Preguntas, but eventually we want to change how the web page look and the search bar. That's mm-hmm. very important.
Yes,
you
it
can.
Is.
My goal is that you can type any question there and you can find the answer very fast,
really
quick.
Quickly. Okay.
And we also are working in it was a secret, but I'm going to tell you. an app for the phones.
Excellent.
And the mobile phones.
Okay.
An app that you can use to ask questions to the institute.
Okay.
So that's
excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it goes all out to being transparent and
yeah.
being open with the information
mm-hmm.
that brings credibility.
Yeah.
Puerto Rico needs that
mm-hmm.
right now a lot. And you know, technology is the way to get that done.
Yeah, technology.
Especially with perhaps the younger generation that lives on the computer and on the phone. You know, that's the way
younger
to get to them.
Younger people don't
as well.
Use websites. They use apps.
They use apps, but it, you know,
yeah.
but being online also,
yeah.
you have to have a good presence online.
Yeah, good presence.
Your website used to have a sign up that people could, you know, put their email in and get information as it was submitted. Is
yeah.
that still going to happen?
It's still going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very useful.
Yeah, because
yeah.
people want to get reports,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just not
they're
have to go.
They're receiving the inbox the information.
Right, right. So that's still going
to
be a
go to the people.
That's going to
yeah.
be a feature.
Yeah,
it's going to
be
okay.
a feature.
So
yeah.
you have 9 very busy months
yeah.
coming up because yeah. you have a couple of goals there that are for this year.
Yeah, and we have to, you know, fight with the system to get more money. You know, that's
the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. We need more money to keep our services up to date and to make possible all these objectives that we have. We need more people. We need more
everything
resources,
comes down
technology,
to, right.
a new website, an app. That costs.
Sure.
It costs money and time and effort.
But it seems like you have the roadmap laid out.
Yeah.
I guess we can talk in 9 months to see what
yeah,
happened.
Maybe.
Everything that got like, done. And you probably announce things as they come up,
yeah.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for being with us today.
We
appreciate
a pleasure.
I appreciate your time, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. And, you know, good luck to you.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to talk with you. And we can talk later if you want. And
absolutely.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you.
If you, our listeners, have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by Walmart Puerto Rico, First Bank Puerto Rico, and Amy Taylor Fernandez voiceovers. Walmart Puerto Rico and Amy Taylor Fernandez voiceovers.